All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, thank you for joining me outside the historic Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Oh, hey! Dig out your dick! That is a Comedy Bang Bang reference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Check out the facts. It's the Hollywood facts.
Thank you for immediately alienating me. Yeah.
It was an Andy Samberg joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I figured, since there are so many of these little dangle handprints here, we can use that, somehow, to, randomize. So what I've done is I have, acquired some contraband jarts.
All right. Oh, nice.
I'm going to hand this to you. I'm just going to ask you to huck this bad boy as far as you can. And whichever priceless handprint this ruins, that'll be the celebrity we use as our starting point. Okay.
I love that. Yeah. Let's do it. Okay. Been a long time since I've hucked nary a jort. Let's do it.
Listen to that satisfying crack. Love that.
That was great. Yeah.
So let's go down here and see who we ruined. Oh, Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Ah, Sir Anthony Hopkins. Mm. No.
No, I mean, I appreciate his work.
He's great.
What is it? Hearts in Atlantis.
I have Hearts of Atlantis.
Yeah.
When they get the deep sea diving suit and they fight the Nautilus.
Oh, it's about a psychic mentoring a young boy.
I was thinking of something different.
Yeah. Okay. So Anthony Hopkins, let me just do a look here. Born on December 31st. Let me cross reference games that came out on the 31st of December. Not much. Not a lot coming out on New Year's Eve. Yeah. Oh, here's one. It's called Musia, the classic tale of Japanese horror.
Oh, okay, so it's like a scary game, huh?
Yeah. Oh, I'm surprised I never heard of this. What with my famed knowledge of horror games.
Of scary games.
Yeah. So let me just take this big swig of coffee and then open the emulator.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Address Suffering, where Cole is trying to kickstart his own cryptocurrency based on geodes. That is from Eric.
I can't believe Eric found out my plans.
Mm-hmm. Your crypto must be acknowledged.
Hmm. This might be the same Eric who demanded the episode.
Oh, that'd be a fun coinkydink.
That'd be a very fun coinkydink. But this is Eric who says, now that's what I call a classic tale of Japanese horror.
Sure is.
Fuck, Gary, this is a boring game.
It's really boring. It's kind of like a bad version of the bad parts of ActRaiser.
Yeah.
In some ways is kind of what it feels like some of the monster designs are kind of fun, but like, boy, the level design isn't fun.
No,
your
character has very strong legs so they can achieve a jump, but also this is 10x gravity, so you fall like a stone.
It has got one of the worst jump arcs. One of my favorite things that happens in this is when you jump and you do the highest jump you can, mm-hmm. and you end up kind of like floating up against the ceiling for a while before you come down. Like,
yep.
If you hit the ceiling, the way it's programmed, your upwards momentum doesn't stop. So you'll just kind of jetpack up against it for a while and then fall down. It's very funny.
If you can think of a better way to scratch the crown of your head, I would like to hear it.
And it's very bizarre for our little spear man, our little pika man.
So I had never heard of this game like that was a bit at the start. I had never heard of it. This is like an also ran that was and ever was. Like it's real obscure. But this is a 2D platformer kind of deal. Feels a little bit like it would have been an arcade conversion, but from a very bad arcade game that came out 5 years before this release.
Like we're in the Rastlan zone or whatever.
Yeah, Rastan. Yeah,
Rastan. We're in the Rastan zone.
Yeah. Yes. It does not have golden skin and eyes of, or no, yeah, you know what I mean. Raceland.
Yeah.
Jokes about Raceland. It didn't become the god of the moon. Yeah. Dragonlance facts.
They've never been hotter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jokes about Raceland. Jokes about Raceland.com is getting upwards of 5,000 unique visitors a day. Yeah. And it's the site to watch on GeoCities.
It wasn't really edition. A joke about Raceland. It was just vaguely recalling things that I can.
a couple things about him.
Just a couple of facts about Raceland.
He's very sick. He's basically Taquito in the Tim and Eric movie.
Like, he's extremely sick. Yeah. His twin brother, Caravan, cares about them so much.
He loves them. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
It's a good books.
Yeah. No, they're not. They're really
bad. I know. They're probably really bad, but they were good at the time.
Oh yeah, no, it's good. It's good middle school reading. No, but this is it's in the Rastan zone. The idea being that you're this it's ancient Japan. You're like this pikeman, you know, spear wielding guy who dies and then is brought back, and then the mayor says you need to rescue somebody from the abyss, and you decide that is why I was brought back, to serve the mayor.
It's the mayor of Ghoul School too. Like you go to a village and then I'm like, oh, it's a normal village. And then they show the mayor and he's surrounded by all these creepy crawlies. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh no, it's the nightmare. Like it's a very haunted mayor kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Who sends you out and you just are like, what else am I going to do? And then you do it.
Yeah.
And like, there's things about this that are kind of like, some of the monster designs are kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, they're okay, but it's, I had a weird thought about this where I think this would be better on the NES.
Yeah, like probably
with a more limited color palette, so things had to stand out more, you know. And then I think that the characters, like the ghoulies and stuff you fight, would be exaggerated to make their features show up.
Yeah,
and I think it would just look cooler.
It would feel less anonymous, I think, with this kind of dreary color palette and a little bit of like cluttered detail in most of the sprites and especially in the environment. It all makes it feel just kind of like gruel.
Yeah, it's got a real gruel feeling, and it sucks because, you know, a Castlevania that takes yokai instead of, you know, Universal movie monsters is a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, there's something cool there, just in terms of having like fucked up little freaks to fight.
Yeah. You know? Well, there is one of those. I think it's called, not Kenshi. There is a game for the Master System that is basically exactly what you're talking about it. And it's actually,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. The, more of those, I guess, would also be okay.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's just, it's real weird that like the game part of this did not get very much attention. It feels like. You know, the physics down to the level design, is all pretty crappy.
No, it's Ken Sadin is what that is on the Master System. There we go. It just the fit and finish on this is really bad too. Like when we say the platforming is bad, it's not just that like the level itself is laid out pretty blandly. There's like really bad collision detection on when you will or will not hit something. Every platform that you're going to jump on is basically right at the top of your arc, maybe sometimes even beyond. But like rather than adjust the platform like down so you can jump onto it, they just make it like, well, okay, like occasionally if you jump at this like waist high, you'll just kind of like up on top of it.
You'll autocorrect onto it.
You'll snap to grid.
Yes, it's real weird. It doesn't feel like it was, I mean, we say this all the time, and we don't know enough about the, you know, development of this. It feels unplaytested though.
Yeah.
Like it feels like nobody actually moved through these levels with this verb set.
Yeah. And I think there's an important stipulation on the like, oh, this was never play tested. Never play tested by somebody outside of the studio.
Not extensively play tested.
Yes.
You know, play tested enough because like getting a minimum viable product is not easy, right? So like obviously that happened.
Yes.
But nobody like sat down and was asked questions about whether it was good. You know?
Yeah. Or, you know, or like nobody who wasn't involved in like programming that jump and understanding of like the compromises that they had to make that load bearing system work, you know, like played that and told them, hey, this feels like dog shit. It was just people who were too close to it.
I think a lot about like when you something that is I think creatively one of the most damaging things that happens a lot is you get locked into a decision and you stop questioning assumptions. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is our jump, we made the jump, you know, like obviously not obviously, but I can imagine you make your physics engine first and you got something that works. Mm-hmm. And then you start designing the other stuff because you have something that works.
Yeah.
And then you are too afraid to go back and adjust that because mm-hmm. it would make everything, you have to do everything else again.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes that's, you know, you want to not lock yourself in that situation. You want to be able to like rapidly prototype faster mm-hmm. than that.
Yeah.
There's just a huge sense of sunk cost.
And like for developing an SNES game at this point, I've got no idea like how rapidly you could do that.
Yeah.
Like today you can like do an A/B test, like, you know, I just my understanding about Unity or Unreal Engine, a lot of sliders. You can just like tighten up the graphics on level 3, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean to simplify it, but like
easier than it was, you know, is probably uncontroversial.
You're not like, I imagine there's like a lot of like hex editing going on. And you know, that no matter how good of a hex programmer you are also not going to, it's not going to be as efficient as, you know, going in and messing around with a GUI or whatever. Like, you know, it just, I feel like I'm talking out of my ass, but I feel like the point.
I think these feel intuitive at the very least.
Yes.
Yeah. This does, I do have like a mild soft spot. You know, for like, I didn't think this game was good and it was boring, but the way I found out about it was it's part of like a very small subset of things that Hardcore Gaming 101 has done a book on, which is retro horror.
I literally have both of those books on my desk right now.
How I first heard about this. I never played it. Mm-hmm. And I just ignored it because it didn't look interesting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, that game. And also the title rolled off my brain.
Of course.
It's but like, the idea of doing horror in that era is really interesting because it's really difficult to actually inspire any of the things that modern horror, like it's an entirely different concern mm-hmm. to modern horror games.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there are attempts to sometimes do some of the things, mm-hmm. you know, like there are games that have atmosphere from time to time.
Yeah.
But generally it's just going to be a regular video game, but you fight creepy crawlies instead of, you know, Russians. You know, like this game wouldn't be that different if you were like, you know, it was like the Rambo SNES game and you fought mm-hmm. Russians, you know, or something like that. Like it'd probably be fine. Like it would be the same gameplay wise.
It's literally just theming, right?
Yes.
Like there's not anything scary about Haunted House. There's not anything scary about Monster Party.
Splatterhouse.
Right?
Yeah. You know, like, you know? And so sometimes you end up with things that are kind of fun and surreal in that respect. Like I love Monster Party. I think that's a great game. And one of the things that's cool about it is that like, it's not scary. It doesn't even mm-hmm. try to do that, but in trying to accomplish that purely through theming, mm-hmm. they ended up having to take such a hard swing at it that it ends up landing at this third unique thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the thing I like about retro horror, like at its best.
Oh yeah. You know? No. Yeah. And like even the stuff that like starts feeling more mechanically like survival horror does, you know, mm-hmm. like you're just, you know, the things that we would recognize as, you know, horror, like probably the earliest one I could think of that is, you know, readily identifiable as like, okay, yeah, this is obviously a precursor. It's a Commodore 64 game called Project Firestar, right?
Yeah.
Which would be a pretty interesting, actually would be a pretty interesting WAF one day because it's short.
We've never done a C64 game.
Yeah. But like even that has, you know, like it's really brightly lit. It's a very obvious alien pastiche, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you run into like the thing is, this is just like more stressful than anything because.
Yes.
You know, like it's got the resource restriction or what have you. And then stuff like Sweet Home, like that has a disturbing story. Like it tells a story of a pretty fucked up thing that happened and has mm-hmm. cool monster design. But like, I don't know, it's hard to put myself in the mind of somebody who played that back in the day. I was like, oh, God, this is too spooky. I'm done.
Yeah. 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 Agreed on all points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard knock genre.
Yeah. Lots of cool stuff in it though.
Yeah. It's I admire its failings, you know, for lack of a better phrase. Like, yes. I think it fails in interesting ways. Mm-hmm. It tries to do that. I know we talk about this all the time, but like those books, man, like, mm-hmm. what kind of gift is it that we live in the absolute best time on earth for video game reference things? Like, we get to be alive when Hardcore Gaming 101 is putting out books, Jerry Harris is putting out books and yeah. Bitmap are putting out books.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord.
Oh yeah.
No,
it's I don't know. Like, I've never read any of them. I read the Adventure Game one from front to back, but like, yeah. just to be able to like flip through, you know, and basically like graze at it, you know, mm-hmm. like a reference book ought to be, you know, just like, okay, this didn't look interesting to me last time, but like, now I just want to dig in because I read about something that this reminded me of. Like, it is a different kind of reading, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the Adventure Game one, that's real fun to read front to back because it's specifically like a genre with a very long history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these more specialized ones, you know, like the retro horror one lends itself much more to that, to like a graze.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's you're not getting the history of the actual genre, but
yeah, they're not even like they're not laid out in chronological order either.
Yeah. Usually alphabetical. You know,
yeah.
Yeah. The good shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little disappointed that the bitmap JRPG book is done by franchise as opposed to chronological order,
yeah.
because I think that seeing, you know, them grow would be a more interesting thing rather than having them grow in their individual kind of walled gardens,
yeah. or seeing them bounce off of each other, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Because I don't know, it was pretty clear when we did Dragon Quest IV on WAF, like this very much is in conversation like with Final Fantasy IV, it feels like, yeah. to me. You know, like,
yes.
even just in terms of the way that those two franchises evolved and took very similar steps at their different entries. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. It's a little bit of a disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Still a fun one to read through, though, because you get to that. It's in the JRPG book. You get to the like the miscellaneous one. You start reading yeah. about like Tecmo's Secret of the Stars.
That's like all the, of that's these the best just, part of that book.
Oh, yeah. Like, 100%.
Like reading, you know, just reading a one page summary of every Dragon Quest and every Final Fantasy is nothing
yeah,
everyone
yeah.
doesn't know. You right. know, you want to find shit you haven't heard about. And I'm really glad that includes strategy RPGs as well.
Yes.
So there's like yeah. some more weirdness in there.
Mm-hmm.
Great company. Jesus Christ.
I love yeah. it.
The did you get the, man, this is not content or humor. Did you get the did you pick up the text adventure book? Were you on that Kickstarter? 50 years of text adventures.
I meant to, you know, I meant to back that one, and then I didn't. So I'm gonna have to go in and buy it after the fact.
It's cool. Mm-hmm. It is because those games don't have because they're text adventures means mm-hmm. the whole thing the layout doesn't have like magazine grazeability,
right?
You yeah. know, to it like something that is broken up with like sidebars and images have. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty hard to graze at. But it is a really neat project.
Yeah.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. Wealth of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Love reading about games.
Yeah. Yeah. sometimes as much as playing them. If mm-hmm. not more sometimes.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at stuff historically too.
Yeah. yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. 100% historically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not gonna fucking
like, okay, I'm not gonna play Police Quest. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Are you insane? like yeah you get shot for saying something like that. Try that in a small town. try telling Travis Twitt or whatever the fuck his name is to play Police Quest in a small town.
I'm sure I think they'd be like way into it, like, oh yeah, they did get the death
oh
angel.
Yeah, cry, yeah, oh man, this is definitely by the book, but uh-huh. you know, I can imagine smacking the guy's head on the door.
I was out driving the other day, going two towns over, like I always do. It took away mm-hmm. that I didn't go, and somebody had like their front lawn was just entirely like all just bad politics. Like, just it was the biggest like stay away sign you could ever see,
yeah, yeah.
really. But like the centerpiece was, it wasn't just a like a thin and blue line flag. What it was. Picture the same black and white flag, but every other stripe was a different color.
To like a rainbow.
Yes, that is what I'm getting at. So like the blue one was in the middle, but they had red for firefighters. They had, I don't know, purple for Grubhub deliveries. Yeah. Yeah. And just, it was just, I just loved that, like, in they their interest. Yeah. they just like stumbled ass backward. They went so fast that they rolled right around
the resistance an ally. Limb.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just, that's very funny
in this house. Yeah. And then I sped up because I didn't want anything to do with this person.
I saw something scary the other day. Since this is a spooky game, I wanted to run by you.
Okay.
Me and Liv went into Guardian Games, the big game store here in Portland.
Yeah.
To buy some supplies. We've been playing the Arkham Horror card game, which is very good. Mm-hmm. Legitimately, if you have space for it, if you ever find like a cheap copy, it plays pretty fun in single player, and I think you might like it.
Okay.
If you want to, the
card game, you said?
Yes. Arkham Horror takes a million years to set up and is very complicated.
Right.
The card game is much better. There's also a really good integration that does all the backend shit on BoardGameGeek. Or not BoardGameGeek, Tabletop Simulator. We went in and I saw somebody who was parked in the parking lot there.
This is the one that's down by the river, right?
Yes. On the dash, they had a open, half-eaten McChicken that was roasting in the sun there. And it caused a real kind of crisis,
I wanted the sandwich, but also the sandwich repelled me.
No, I wasn't going to eat. I won't turn my nose up at a McChicken. You know, I can understand why you might, because it's the most mayonnaise-y sandwich that's ever existed.
You can just order it without the mayonnaise, and then you get a chicken sandwich. Yeah. No, I'm not saying the mayonnaise is
important to this tableau, though. I think.
I mean, yes, and when I say that it repelled you specifically, A, because it was half eaten and it's got somebody else's mouth cooties on it, but also baking in the beating sun.
Yes, and it was such a like. You know, so it raised all these questions. Like, you couldn't just, you know, gruffle that sandwich and finish it. It's not very big, you know?
Why did they leave it outside the car, rather?
Yeah.
Than, it was on the dashboard. It was on the
dashboard. It was inside the car. Ooh. And I got to make the joke when Liv pointed out, it could be, no, it's okay. You cracked the window for it, which he had done.
Did he do that?
Yeah, he did crack the window for it.
I don't think that's going to help the stink, actually.
No, like a half-eaten McChicken for your, and we assumed, because the car was still there when we left and we were there for a while, that this is somebody who worked there,
who
was rushing to work, trying to get in a lunch before work, couldn't finish it, and then ran in.
What kind of nightmare working conditions does Guardian Games have, where they don't have a fridge in the back?
That's what we were thinking. Like, clearly, that this person, there are different ways to handle this.
Right.
And then we were like, should we throw it away for them? Because we could have reached into the car. I said cracked, but really you could just go in and
crack it. I don't know. That's crossing a boundary to me.
I know. But it would be one of the nicest things I could do for a stranger.
I think, and when it's low stakes like this, I feel pretty comfortable saying, like, sometimes you have to let somebody else make their own mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They
got to learn.
You could do them a kindness, I think. I think that if you did that, they would be more focused on, hey, where'd my McChicken go?
The violation.
Yes.
Yeah. Like this, what else did they take? And I could be like, I don't want your CDs or anything. I just was having mirror neurons. Mm-hmm. Like, I was having sympathy pangs about the idea of getting off work, remembering I left half a McChicken, the most mayonnaise-y sandwich in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In its natural form. Like, it looks Pornhub. Like, it's a punished pussy.
Yeah, this thing is it is ruined.
Yeah, it's absolutely wrecked cunt in terms of sandwich, right?
Jesus.
Just letting that roast. You know, it's been hot. It is recording. It's August.
It's August. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hot. And I had this moment of like, I could become this person's angel or their devil.
Yeah,
you know, as a kind of thing. Or like, how funny it would be to go get another one and put it next to it.
Do you see what happens?
Yeah. Like, if you walked yourselves into a Primer-esque situation where like you've uncovered something. Like this Benson and Moorhead ass car that discovers that half sandwiches are turning into sandwich and a half.
Yeah. When the third sandwich arrives, the cycle restarts.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. There are a lot of angles.
Obviously the second sandwich is the answer.
It's definitely less invasive.
Yeah. Replace it with a half eaten McDouble.
That would also be like a sandwich transmutation. Like that would be incredible, right? Can you imagine?
Oh, I mean,
like, oh shit, I forgot to leave my hold up.
I'd go join a monastery.
Yeah, that's when you quit.
There are some cosmic questions that need to be sorted out.
Yes, that is how people find or lose religion.
Like they would find my car next to the road, next to a big field, and then just a big trail of my clothes and shoes. Yeah. Just leading into the woods. What happened to
Cole?
How
do you come back from that?
I don't know, but there was a half-eaten McChicken on the dash.
Yeah. that somehow transformed.
Yeah, no, that would be the play. That would be my recommendation for you on that one. So just carry, do like I do and carry around a McDouble in your back pocket at all times.
Yeah, double puck. I wonder, it could still be there for all I know, too. You know, like maybe they weren't working. So
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just park there.
Yeah. But, you just couldn't finish gruffling. Come on.
That's what I could have gruffled. I don't want to brag, but I could have eaten the rest of that sandwich in the number of steps it took from the car to the store.
It wouldn't be pleasant. Like you get that, the weird little throat cramp that you get sometimes.
You get the McBurps. Like you'd probably get some like little bits of lettuce that'd come up.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be great, but nothing water wouldn't handle. Just drink some water, man.
Or you could put on your poncho.
Yeah. You know, poncho.
Yeah, just whip out your poncho, put it on, gruffle the McChick. And then take off the poncho, roll it back up, put it in its sleeve.
Yeah. And then you're good. And if like your boss at the playing, you'd be like, it's my poncho plus one boss, and they can't get mad at you.
Nope.
It's a game store.
It's a game store. Come on.
Yeah. I'd have to deal with it.
Man. Vexing is what this is.
Yeah, it was a real, it kind of threw us off our rhythm for like a large part of the day. We went to, afterwards, we were going to the Goodwill that's by there because the idea was we're going to go look for Halloween stuff for our costumes. And then also I think we might throw a Halloween party this year. Mm-hmm. And we got there and it was like, fine. There wasn't a whole lot of stuff, but there are a couple things I was a little bit interested in there. And then like overheard these kids yelling about Funko Pops in the toy section. Ooh. You know, being like, this is a Funko Pop, that's Laura Croft, and I immediately had to go home. The sandwich planted the seed and the kids screamed it into life, and I had to go home. I lost it.
You know how every time you go to a thrift store, every time you go to a Goodwill, there's always the two VHS set of Titanic.
Yes.
So the Titanic or Gettysburg, but more often it's Titanic, right?
Yeah.
Like it's just omnipresent. What is the Funko Pop version of that going to be?
Oh.
Like it's the Funko Pop that is just going to be fucking everywhere.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. There's a really big variety of those. Like I go to a lot of thrift stores. And there's a lot of just random Funko Pops around and it's really hard to find. Like I've seen a lot of Severus Snapes.
Yeah.
You know, that shows up a lot.
I don't know. It's one of those things where you're in a bubble. And I know so many people who have divested themselves of any Harry Potter, you know, fandom kind of stuff. Like, I don't want to overstate how big that phenomenon is or how many people are doing it. But that can't be negligible, right? The number of people offloading their HP Funko, their HPFPs.
HPFPs.
Yeah. Just like, hey, these things are toxic. I don't want to have anything to do with them. And then they end up.
Yeah, it's the Earth's problem now. They're a different kind of toxic now.
It was always the Earth's problem is the lesson you have to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. I've definitely seen a big uptick in the DVDs and stuff.
Yeah.
So people are certainly doing that. And that could be Portland related. But yes. I've seen a really big uptick in complete sets of the books and DVDs. So good.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Why not?
Like, yeah, we talked about them a lot. Like, I liked those books and DVDs when I was younger, but it's not worth compromising my principles for. They're not that good.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, they're adequate at best. you know, they're okay if you don't think about them.
And there's so much literature that fills that niche. Yeah.
I'm also more of a Prince Caspian man when it comes to, you know, or, you know, Percy Jackson and the Goblet of Dreams or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, Percy Jackson and the Goblet of Dreams. Prince Caspian was one, and it just reminded me of how much Voyage of the Dawn Treader fucks. That's a good book.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm only into the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm only into the film, the cinematic universe of Prince Caspian.
You never read the Narnia books as a kid?
I read the first one when I was young, and it didn't hit me. I think I read it when I was all too old.
Yeah, that makes a little bit of sense. Yeah. I read the last one first, and I was really confused. there was nothing odd that said, like, hey, this is the finale of this. It was just like, oh, this looks fantasy. So I grabbed it and read it, and I was like, I don't have any idea what's happening. Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Hmm. Back how these did it.
Yep.
Well, back in the day. I do have a soft spot. The other thing I have a soft spot for this game about, like, I know we're in time, but I love it when I feel like I have a really good grasp on, like, a console's library, and then there's just something this fucking obscure that pops up.
I mean, it's a kind of a different version of what we talk about with arcades, where, like, if you know, generally when you go to, like, a good arcade, you know, like, above a certain size, you're always going to see something that you've not seen before.
Yeah, and I'll always play something I haven't seen before, because it's like, you know, and that's it's kind of like a weird thing where this is obscure enough to where it didn't even show up when me and all my friends were downloading every ROM and kind of going through them, you know, in order. Like, I don't think I saw this then, you know. It's pretty obscure.
Something that might have happened with that, though, is, like, you get those collections of ROMs, and, you know, like, this was in there. Like, this is in the big collection of ROMs that I've had on this machine for, I don't know, 10 plus years now. And that's just the most recent collection that I got. But, like, you go through those big collections and you see a ton of games that have Japanese titles, right? And, my assumption is going to be, I am not going to be able to read that. So I skip over and I go to something, you know, like the one right above this in my library is Mr. Nuts.
Yeah, of course. What are you going to do? Not play Mr. Nuts?
I fired it up. It's an underwhelming platformer developed by Ocean. It's about a squirrel. Okay.
Yeah, cool. I know. Yeah, I know Mr. Nuts. But, like, I mean, as a kid, you're not going to not play.
Yeah, you're going to gravitate toward Mr. Nuts.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I also assume they're going to be Three Kingdoms tactics games.
Yes.
Yeah. Just because it's a real safe bet, man. You know, for the 8-bit and 16-bit generations.
Yeah.
Anywho, thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you.
Thank you. If you like the show, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and kick us a few bucks a month. Get bonus episodes of this show. Get whole bonus shows. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Eric, for demanding this episode. Patreon is also where you can go to demand an episode.
Absolutely. Check out our other shows. There probably aren't that many people who just listen to this, but if there are, listen to the other shows, you weirdo.
We've got a lot of catalog that's there. Go check it out.
Indeed. And then, you know, as we mentioned, ratings, reviews, telling your friends, all that stuff is very useful. And big thanks to Gwen, our producer.
Thank you so much, Gwen. We appreciate it.
Yes.
And until next time, that's the end of that chapter.